For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for June 25th, 2008. In this edition, we'll talk to analyst Mike Rothman about PCI compensating controls. Mike helps clear up some misconceptions about them. Also the news, Microsoft releases tools to address a growing wave of SQL injection attacks, and Proofpoint acquires email archiving vendor Fortiva. Up next, my interview on PCI compensating controls, but first, this message.
There's analysts, there's industry experts, and there's the Security Squad. In a monthly podcast series, the writers and editors of SearchSecurity.com and Information Security Magazine debate today's hot-button security issues. Everything from the demise of network access control to terrorism to the merits of compliance. No topic is out of bounds. Join the discussion. Download Security Squad and our other great podcast today. Go to searchsecurity.com/podcast. That's searchsecurity.com/podcast.
And we're back. As companies march toward the latest PCI compliance deadlines, no doubt some will be talking about PCI compensating controls. With us to shed some light on compensating controls and clear up some misconceptions about them is Mike Rothman. Mike is president and principal research analyst at Security Insight in Atlanta. As we learn from Mike, not all assessors agree on what makes a valid compensating control and which ones outright fail.
Are compensating controls considered a loophole?
Relative to PCI, compensating controls are really about being creative, right? You know, at the end of the day, sometimes due to a lot of different situations, you can't necessarily do something to the specifics of the regulation. So what compensating controls does is once you've kind of gone through the process, so you can't just turn around and when the auditor shows up for the first time say, hey, I've got a, you know, I need a compensating control on this because I can't get it done. It's like, well, not exactly, right? So they pinpoint the fact that you didn't get something done, and then they'll go through the next time. You know, then you can present a case for why you have taken additional measures to protect against something. I mean, I think database encryption or data encryption is probably the best example of that.
That seems to be the first thing that comes to mind when you hear compensating controls for PCI.
Yeah, it is, and because it's hard, right? You know, and you're messing around with your data, and people tend not to to like to do that. So from that standpoint, I mean, I think that you have certainly a number of different fairly creative ways to, you know, kind of meet the spirit of the regulations. And what compensating controls are about are really to give the assessor some flexibility in terms of protecting the data. I mean, you know, that's this whole thing where people, you know, kind of say, well, you know, there are absolutes. The reality is, given something like compensating controls and the fact that, you know, every audit is pretty much subjective in terms of what the assessor believes, you know, should or shouldn't be done, you know, I mean, that's kind of a silly position for some folks to take.
Are there other requirements other than encryption that elicit compensating controls?
I think we're going to start to see some folks looking at things like the secure application requirement 6. Type of requirement for the simple reason that, again, you know, sometimes an in-depth code review or alternative measures to protect your applications may not be exactly feasible. I think a lot of people will try to weigh the difference between web application firewalls and code reviews. You know, the right answer is both. The real answer is probably some, you know, small mixture of the two. So from that standpoint, I mean, I do see a lot of difficulty around some of the secure application requirements, which then would be in a position where folks will start trying to be creative and think about compensating controls. But for the most part, it's really been focused around the data encryption, the private credit card data encryption requirements.
What makes the secure app requirements so difficult?
People have a lot of applications. Securing your applications is pretty hard. So, you know, a lot of people understand about antivirus, a lot of people understand about firewalls, a lot less people understand about securing their applications. So, again, I think a lot of folks will look at web application firewalls as a stopgap measure, and that's not a bad thing to do, but I also don't think that it gets people off of the requirement to actually make sure that their applications are secure.
Mm-hmm. When don't compensating controls actually work?
Well, if you're not protecting your data.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people want to make this stuff real hard. But, you know, the reality is, and again, a lot of it gets back to the judgment and experience and expertise of the assessor, right? You know, listen, if I've got, you know, my private credit card data, you know, four layers down that nobody besides an internal person with the proper administrative controls can get to, you know, does that mean it's secure? Yeah, probably. You know, but do I want to make sure and kind of go through the process and look at it from an attack vector standpoint and ensure that I didn't miss anything? Absolutely. So again, I think that gets back to the you know, the experience and the capabilities of the assessor to really kind of distinguish whether a compensating control really does solve the problem.
How can a company weigh whether to go the route of the compensating control rather than, for example, with encryption? How does a company decide whether to put in place compensating controls rather than actually go out there and acquire or purchase an encryption product?
I think a lot of it gets back to what you're trying to protect and how the application is architected. I mean, you know, in some cases, it's going to be, you know, again, not really feasible to go back in and, you know, kind of try to figure out how to encrypt the data as it rests. So you want to have a number of different layers in front of it. I mean, you know, I wish I could sit here and say there's a generic thing to say, if you look like this, 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 and this, then you have to, you know, kind of either do encryption or no, that doesn't make sense. Look for a compensating control. There are, you know, very few. There are a lot of similarities, but there are very few really generic answers in this business. I mean, I think that, and that's the reason why compensating controls aren't acceptable for the first go-round. Right? Because you don't know. And for somebody just to give up and say, you know, I'm not going to do this, so I'm going to look for a compensating control, well, you know, that's a cop-out. And I think that also underscores a valuable service that the assessor can provide, which is to help organizations really understand whether what they're doing makes sense, whether, you know, there are different ways to solve the problem, and get some suggestions from these assessors. I mean, yeah, they're there to see if you're kind of where you need to be, but they also see a lot of different environments, and to take an adversarial position against an assessor doesn't make a lot of sense when you can turn around and actually maybe learn from them. And that, you know, once you kind of get dinged on the first assessment because you don't have, let's say, data encryption, then you can work with the assessor to figure out what would be an acceptable compensating control.
I see. Does cost play into this as well?
You know, cheaper is certainly one vector that that people want to think about from that perspective. But, you know, again, I don't think you're going to get a lot of sympathy from an assessor if you say, well, it's cheaper to do the compensating control than to maybe do it right. So to me, that's, you know, not necessarily the right way to think about the problem. It's what's the most effective way to protect that data, you know, then obviously as kind of a secondary decision, what is, you know, probably the most cost effective, because we're always looking for that. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, kind of throwing the cost card up there until I've kind of looked at all of my alternatives and figured out what's going to do the best job of actually protecting the data.
Sure. And you're of the opinion then that most QSAs would frown upon compensating controls?
No. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and make a blanket statement like that. I mean, again, I think it's very company and environment specific in terms of, you know, what makes sense versus what doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I'd also, you know, I mean, the PCI Security Standards Council is starting to implement some quality types of assessments for some of the people that are out there doing these assessments, so that hopefully we can get to a point where there's actually a consistent level of these rules that are actually being enforced out there. But, you know, again, I mean, I think that there are probably some purists out there that say, you know, I see the 12 requirements and I want, you know, you to do those 12 requirements. And then there are the people that live in the real world, which is, you know, sometimes things aren't feasible and, you know, you have to find a good middle ground because, you know, do nothing is probably not a good answer. And do everything may not be feasible. So then, you know, compensating controls gives some flexibility to really reside in that middle ground and hopefully get to a place where everybody can be happy.
In the news this week, Proofpoint acquired email archiving vendor Fortiva. Proofpoint plans to integrate the acquisition into its hosted email service. Proofpoint is known for its email security appliances, which perform anti-spam, antivirus, and DLP tasks, but it has been moving more into the hosted space as of late. And finally this week, Microsoft issued an advisory this week warning customers that it was tracking a rising number of SQL injection attacks on websites that use Microsoft ASP and ASP.NET technologies. The software giant identified several tools that could be used to identify website coding problems and help developers shore up holes that could lead to a SQL injection attack. Microsoft said the tool Squalor identifies whether a website is susceptible to SQL injection. A second tool called URL Scan stops harmful requests from reaching the web application on the server. And lastly, the Microsoft Source Code Analyzer for SQL injection, that's another tool, is also available to detect ASP code susceptible to SQL injection attacks. The tools are available for free download at Microsoft's TechNet website. Well, that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcasts by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.